Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Ja'Kari Jackson. It's January 1st, 2014, and I'd definitely like to thank you for starting your year with us here at InfoWars.com. Now we're going to show you part two of my interview with John B. Wells of Coast to Coast AM. Now, Mr. Wells, you were telling us right before the break about your grandfather predicting the war with Japan.
Yes, he did, and that's about all I heard about it. But when I asked my dad, what do you predict as far as the next war is concerned, he said, that's the thing about the next one, you won't know who you're fighting. And I think maybe if I were to extrapolate on his idea, no, we won't know who we're fighting because we'll be fighting each other. Look at all the division everywhere, a division along social lines, economic lines, political philosophy, educational levels, all of these things. And the mechanism is in place, and it's a very well-oiled machine. And it is to divide us. Because if everybody gets on the same page, then these things that we find objectionable will be changed.
Right.
But as long as we're fighting among ourselves, nothing will be done. And the program will continue to run just like it has. Now, that said, it is aided and abetted by the mainstream media. There's no doubt about it. MSNBC, I can't, without Microsoft behind them, I can't imagine that they wouldn't have gone the way of Air America because it's just so blatant in its presentation of their political ideology. That's fine. But what they do not, this is what's so completely fraudulent about their presentation, is that they never bring up that, you mean that it's not just people we're ideologically opposed to who are going to be punished? You mean we're going to be punished too?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's exactly how divide and conquer works.
Well, let me ask you this, since you bring up that point. Do they think that they're immune to this, or do they just go along to get along?
They go along because they're paid to go along. They're hired guns. They call themselves journalists. These people haven't made a journal entry since they were in college, if they did it then. They just got the grades, they got the job, you do what you're told. In fact, that station that I mentioned to you earlier, WFAA in Dallas, they were a client for 25 years. But when the old conservative guard, call them conservatives, might as well, because they're not liberal, as defined here, which, by the way, in Europe means the exact opposite of what conservative and liberal means here. That nobody's bothered to tell anybody that either. But when the old guard moved out and the new guard moved in, they got rid of anybody that that did not have a liberal bend toward social policy. And if you sang out, well, I just don't like this, or I think this policy is wrong, or this or that, you weren't around long. Mm-hmm. And so after 25 years, bye. And that was long enough. That's fine. And it was revealing that things had changed. The political ideology there had changed, and this is how it is. Deal with it. So I did. I left.
Now, you've talked about Amber Lyon before, and you know, you say she's working on some things you can't really elaborate right now, but going with the media censorship and how her stories were censored when she was at the big networks, do you think this is a chilling effect? Do you think this is something that's going to continue? Will we see more Amber Lyons? People come out and say, you know, this is what I was forced to do, or this is how I was censored at my big network, so now I'm going to go independent.
I do believe it. You know, there's an old expression, nobody wants to be first, but everybody wants to be next. Mm. And I think that people like Amber Lyon and Ed Snowden and Julian Assange, these philosophically, and that's what this struggle is. It's a philosophical struggle. It's like, can we put the money aside for a minute? Can we put the control and the expansion of our nation? Because our nation, we get the bigger half of the world. We get the bigger half of every deal that we do. Put all of that aside, and we realize that everybody in the world and every nation on earth is not going to treat the other nations fairly. So you always try to negotiate from a position of strength, but not from a position of intimidation, more from a position of respect. And I may be getting far afield.
No, go ahead.
Well, the thing is that when your government is corrupt and your media covers it up, the people who are not of your country, they're observed, like people in Europe and so forth around the world, they're looking at this, they're going, are the American people idiots? Surely they can see what their government is doing, and surely they know that their mass media is covering it up. Mm-hmm. What does that make us appear to be? Weak.
Yes.
And vulnerable follows
gullible.
That. And gullible. And frankly, stupid. And we're not. It's just that we're busy because we live within a society that is very complex. We have to have a lot of technologically advanced devices just to get through the day. Mm-hmm. We must text. We must email. We must call. We must have our toll tag. Mm-hmm. We must have our garage door opener. But first we have to use the gate opener.
Yeah, that's right.
It's just, it's endless. None of these things are really necessary. I would submit to you that we get less done now because of the time that's taken manipulating our devices, less productivity than we would have had if we had just done our work and left all this other stuff out of it.
Exactly right, because you know your Wi-Fi goes down and now you have to spend time trying to reboot your device just to go back to doing the work that you were trying to do in the first place.
Refresh that page. What's the problem here? Oh, hold on. Wait a minute. We've the voice over IP phone's down. Okay, let me get the cell. My internet's down. I'm going to reboot my router and I'll call you back. That's just stupid. I mean, how much time is that by the end of the year?
A whole lot of time. And it's time that we don't have to waste because we have things, you know, like currently here at InfoWars, we have the NFL boycott, you know, because we want people to pay attention to the real issues. And we have the situation with the NFL and the Daniels defense. They're blocking them and so forth. What are your thoughts about that?
I thought the Daniel defense ad was good. I thought it was a bit strong, just a bit strong.
Really? Was it tasteful?
I thought it was extremely tasteful. But I knew what the reaction would be, which is why I'd say it was a bit strong. It's not too strong for my taste, but I knew that it would be too strong for their taste. At the same time, I mean, I see both sides of things. I understand that in every court case, two good lawyers are going to go into court.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is going to lose. Unless, which is why they'll send it to mediation. Just hash this out. Don't come into court with this. Because two lawyers are going to go in there and they're both good, but they're going to lose. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's a righteous win and maybe it's an ignominious defeat. Who knows what is right? That's why it says in Scripture, work it out among yourselves before you go to the courts. I'm paraphrasing because I'm not a theologian nor a biblical scholar, but that's the message.
Mm-hmm.
Where the NFL is concerned, what has this done for us? Oh, baseball, it's as American as apple pie. Yeah, okay. Football, got a football in the winter. Well, look, I enjoy football games just like anybody else does. What I don't like is the culture that surrounds it.
Mm.
We're gods, we are invincible. Okay, that's fun. That's fun as long as you're watching a cartoon. Now, if these guys are going to be cartoons, then, and it's all in fun.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. But when it's, let me put it another way. If I want to see criminals in violent conflict with each other, I only have to drive a few miles, and I can see it live right there. I don't have to go to the Cowboy Stadium and watch a TV screen that's 60 yards wide, and you're sitting there like a moron looking at this screen.
When the game's right there in the field.
And you go, well, the players are right there. Oh, but they look so tiny, I'd rather go with this. I mean, what is that doing to us? Why is this necessary? Oh, and I left out the part about, if you are privileged enough to have parking passes right there at the front where you just get out of the car and walk right in,
mm-hmm.
chances are there will be a couple of policemen going through your trunk and so forth. Makes no difference how expensive the car might be that you're driving. And one of them will have his M4 there. He won't be pointing it at your head, but he's got it there. It's an intimidation thing, looking through your trunk, make sure you don't have, you know, some sort of a device you're going to let off at the
And then they're saying that you can only bring in transparent bags.
Absolutely stupid. I mean, really, what have we become? You want to cure the threat of terrorism in this country? I got an idea. Deport everybody whose visa has expired unless they get a proper extension. Close the borders. Expel the illegal aliens. Well, you don't want those people to have a better life? I do want them to have a better life. Well, what would you say if you were on the other side of the border looking at the bright promise of America? I wouldn't say, I would ask, why isn't my country like this? Can't we make our country this as good? That's their stuff, this is our stuff, and our stuff doesn't look as good as their stuff. What can I do to that? And then I think, oh, who else? You're thinking like an American, you're not thinking like somebody who's not an American.
Mm. That's a very good point, because even here with our country, you know, we may not have such problems as they have in Mexico, but we have different problems. You know, it's not they come over the border and everything's okay, like we went and saw that movie Elysium with the crew, And I don't know if you've seen the film, but basically everybody's trying to get to the space station. And once everybody gets there, it's perfectly fine. But the problem about it is the space station is not big enough to hold the whole population of Earth.
Right.
But that's the message of the thing. You just give people citizenship, you let people come in, and everything is fine.
Yeah, and, you know, to augment the horror of this whole thing, they're offering, our government is offering, I don't know if they're currently doing it, but they have, and very well may be doing it to this day, offering a pathway to citizenship if you'll just go into the military and go fight for your country. Fight for your country. You know, how long have we been at this now? 12 years in the Middle East?
Mm-hmm.
And the last big one that took this long was the Vietnam conflict. Went for 11 years from what, April of 64 up until whatever month it was in 75. That war was never declared. The Korean War before that, there was no armistice, there was no treaty, nothing. There was just a withdrawal to the parallel, the 49th parallel, I want to say. And that was it. Who was feeding all those people in? China. We've been at war with China for 60 years, so all this noise over here about, like, if I go to a black African country and they pull me over and the police come over and go, what are you doing here? Is that racial profiling? No. If you get pulled over and they go, well, he doesn't look Somalian. That guy looks Somalian. We're looking for a Somalian. Let's go talk to him. Is that then racial profiling? This is just a division tool. Blacks and whites in this country get along fine. We understand each other. We go, hey, you know what? You're different. And the other one says, you're different too. It's like, isn't it kind of good? Like Jimi Hendrix said, wouldn't it be a real drag if we were all the same? Mm-hmm. Yes. To try and make people colorblind is to deny them their individuality and to deny yourself enjoying the difference in people.
Exactly.
But I mean, is that too artsy for people? I don't think so. I mean, Professor Griff, you know him.
Oh, yeah.
Founding member of the Public Enemy. He calls me on the phone, and I go, is this my brother of color? And he goes, yes. You know, it's like we like each other. You know, it's like, are we colorblind? No, because we'd have to be literally physically blind. Oh, no, I don't pay any attention to that. It's like we came from entirely different backgrounds and wound up at exactly the same place.
That's right.
And that's the thing. That's the magic.
So you're saying let's stop all this racial division
yes.
that we see on TV.
Immediately.
Immediately. Because, you know, it's like you said, you know, a bank robber, you know, the guy may be black, he may be white. That's the person we're looking for. You know, that's different than, you know, just trying to downplay somebody, trying to keep them down just because of the color of their skin.
I think that's over with, man. I think it's been over with for a long time. I think they're just beating that horse to try.
Yeah. Why are they beating that horse?
Because they don't have anything else.
Because every time you criticize the president, you're a racist. Or if you're a person of color, then you're an Uncle Tommy. It's always something. You can't do anything.
That's it. And that's the whole point. You can't do anything. You might have seen this picture with one of my favorite English actors in it, Matthew McFadden. He's always doing stuff like Little Dorrit. I think it was written by Dickens.
Okay.
And there's the Office of Circumlocution. And this is not a good place because once your paperwork gets submitted in there, it's over. It just swirls around the circumlocution, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just paper just swirling around in there and nothing ever gets done. Your dream dies right there. That's what this is. This has become a governmental circumlocution where all these issues just keep getting passed from this one, this one, this one, and this one. Just keep passing around and nothing gets done.
Exactly. Nothing is getting done in this country.
I mean, things are more the same today than they ever were before as far as they're concerned. But people like us on the ground, the people who are living the life and not trying to rule over the people, we get along fine.
Mm-hmm.
We get along fine.
Until the TV tells us not to.
Yeah, if somebody says, you don't like President Obama because he's black, it's like, that is as ridiculous as my saying you voted for him because he's black. Mm-hmm. Or I voted for George Bush or Lyndon Johnson, or second vote, because he's white. That's just nonsense. It's just stupid. I mean, look how people respond to Martin Luther King. Sure, right. There were some hardcore old bigots, but there's a difference between a bigot and a racist. A bigot is somebody who holds an unreasonable prejudice against someone based on their appearance, their customs, or their religion. And that's it. Now, racist, you just think that your race is the best and everybody else's race is not as good.
Mm-hmm.
But there's another term that is used in Europe quite a bit, particularly Britain, and it's racialist. And these people in the media are racialists. And a racialist is someone who uses racial issues to further their own agenda. They don't really have any vested interest in any race. It's all about getting their way and using these people as pawns, pit them against each other to get your way. And that's, in some ways, I think that's even worse than racism, because racism is just like, you're crazy.
Mm-hmm. It's easily dismissed.
Get out of here. But this is clever, because they're clever at this.
So speaking on this issue of race, we've seen this knockout game. You're familiar with this?
Yeah.
What do you think about the media coverage on that?
I haven't really seen that much media coverage on it. I've seen reports of it in the internet press. But as far as, just a report here and a report there, it's like, well, here's the thing. You let a bunch of kids who are, they're strong and they're, you know, everybody when you're 14, 15, 16 years old, everybody wants to be, you know, tough and mm-hmm. capable and able to not only take care of myself, but take care of you too if I need to. But now they have more powerful toys to play with, and they can be goaded more easily at that age. I mean, everybody knows the only guy that's going to storm the, given a choice between the 40-year-old or the 20-year-old, which one do you think is going to storm the pillbox with the machine gun in it? It's going to be the young one, because he's got the testosterone going. I'll kick it, you know.
Yeah.
So you got a bunch of kids that are not occupied with anything else. They're not studying. Their parents don't make them study. The system doesn't say, listen, you can really have some nice things in this life, but you got to kind of get with the program. You got to go to school. And don't be bringing stuff to hurt people into the school. Now, if somebody's around there messing with you, we will remove them from the school. We don't call a SWAT team. We just come quietly, get them, and go, you can't do that to people. Now, come on, you're going to have to go over here now until you straighten out. But it's like Cosby said. You know, you can go, he says, first I heard the father speak, or first I heard the mother speak, and then I heard the father speak. And it's just like, what are you teaching the kids? So it's like, it doesn't matter where you are, it doesn't matter what color or what part of the world you're in. If you are deprived of your self-respect, and this self-respect is that you're supposed to have is thrown at you through the media based on what you should own and mm-hmm. what you should wear and what you should drive, what's that going to produce? Resentment. So it's like, okay, here we are. We got nothing but time on our hands. We're capable young men. I got an idea. Let's go roll a shopping cart down the street and smash it into something.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go and roll a big tractor tire down the street into Mrs. Jones' house or something. You know, idiots.
Yeah.
Right? We did things when we were kids that we should have been executed for.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody did that. They just go, come here. Don't you ever do that again, because you're going to be in very serious trouble if you do. Oh, well, okay. And then we quit doing it, whatever it was, water balloon and toilet paper in the house, something.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do that. But now one of the things that I agree with Adam Kokesh is that he says we don't have a criminal justice system. We have a criminal punishment system. If you really can't rehabilitate kids once they get in trouble, if you just punish them,
mm-hmm.
all you do is make them tougher.
That's right.
And you put resentment into them, and when they get out, they just sit there and smolder till they get out, and they're going to find a way to hit back, and they don't even know what they're hitting back at.
They're mad at the system.
Yes.
Because just like you said, it's not to rehabilitate them, it's just to punish them.
Just to punish.
Especially for things, you know, such as the drug laws, the mandatory minimums. These guys, they see these murderers and rapists being released to keep them in jail. So of course they're going to be angry and resentful when they get out. I didn't kill anybody. I didn't rape anybody. Why is this guy getting out of jail?
That's exactly right. And it's wrong. I mean, it's just plain wrong. So you go, well, what are you going to do about it? It's like, the game is well underway and we're way behind, but we have to start at the elementary school level.
Now, we talk about this elementary school level, and I'm going to end with this and we'll get your final thoughts. We talk about the media manipulation and the media telling you who you need to be, what you need to be. We see these people, like these performers, they go up on stage and they're licking sledgehammers and they're humping each other and they're doing all this crazy stuff, and then it's sold to these children. These young ladies, these young men, this is how you need to be. How is this affecting our culture?
It's ruining it. It's absolutely ruining it. And the thing is it's all based in money. What can we do to attract enough attention that we can make this, that we can get something off of this? How can we generate some real action here? It's up to the population, the people with the buying power. If you want something to go away, quit buying it.
Exactly. Just simple. Just that simple.
If it even amounts to no more than just turn off the TV and go, I'm not going to watch this. And you can broadcast whatever you want, but we're not going along with your program. Mm-hmm. And you talk to people. You don't text them. You don't email them. You walk over. You drive over. You take a train over. You go see the people.
Mm-hmm.
Some contact, a shake of the hand, look them in the face and shake them by the hand, spend some time with them. You want to spend time on this, or you want to spend time like you and I are spending time?
Yes, this is a good time spent.
We're not going to be texting each other, I just know it.
Yeah.
I expect to see you again pretty soon.
Yeah, definitely. You're welcome back. Now, Mr. Wells, I want to get your final thoughts once you look in that camera right there.
All right.
Tell us your final thoughts, whatever you think the people need to do and know, and also how we can keep up with you.
You are not a victim. You have power. You are being led to believe you don't have any. You are being led to believe that you're up against some monstrous Death Star-like Darth Vader apparatus that you cannot overcome, but you can overcome it. Do not let go of the knowledge that you have power, and do not let go of your faith, because if you let go of your faith, it can be replaced by some third party with anything that they choose to replace it with. You have the power. You have the faith. You cannot change the world, but you can change your little part of it. So do it. And you'll find the first time you do it, the next time is easier. And easier still after that. That's it.
John B. Wells, thank you for your time, sir.
Thanks for yours.
All right. And there he goes, John B. Wells. You can keep up with John at jbwells.com. And if you also want to keep up with us here at InfoWars, you can stop by prisonplanet.tv and get yourself a 15-day free trial. Now, that's it for the interview portion, but stay tuned. We're going to give you some highlights, some InfoWars highlights, documenting some of our best reports from years past.
Symbols are powerful, and the globalists have hijacked the symbols of America. They've turned them into their own symbols. Well, we are restoring the idea of the true republic, not the counterfeit globalist empire, by promoting the icon George Washington and others. That's why we're rolling out an 100% made in America line of incredible pro-liberty apparel. We are repopularizing liberty. We are helping fellow Americans rediscover what made this country great. We are the spirit of 1776. We are 1776 worldwide. We are all brothers and sisters in arms in the animating contest of liberty in the long march towards humanity's ultimate destiny of freedom. Visit madein1776.com today and vote with your dollars to promote truly made in America, high quality products, and promote the ideals of liberty. Alex Jones here to tell you about how you can help spread liberty worldwide while also enjoying what I have found to be the best tasting 100% organic coffee on the planet. For more than a decade, my favorite coffee has come from the high mountains of southern Mexico, where the Chiapas farmers grow their unique shade-grown Arabica beans. We have now managed to secure these sought-after beans in a highly customized blend. Discover and try a bag of the Patriot Blend 100% organic coffee at InfoWarsLife.com. This coffee gives you a long, smooth pick-me-up for hours without the headaches and heartburn that so many other coffees give me personally. Hands down, this is my favorite coffee, and it's taken us years to secure connections directly to the Chiapas Mexican farmers. Drop by the site today, order a bag or two, and I don't think you're going to be disappointed. Available in original or with our immune support infusion blend, you will be supporting a free press, all the while enjoying a truly great-tasting cup of my favorite coffee. Available at InfoWarsLife.com.
The talk show host is Alex Jones. He's a conspiracy theorist. He's kind of like the guru, the king of the conspiracy theorists. Mm-hmm. And he's been on the air since day one saying that this is a job of the FBI. It's a false flag job. You heard the reporter question as to whether it was false flag job, meaning, you know, is this just, you know, they're twisting it around to make it look like it's something else, another entity, but it really is the government. It's so sick, and this guy's an idiot, and, you know, the people at the press conference totally ignored it.
I think that this internet stuff with this access now that people mm-hmm. have has made more crazy people. Because people who are borderline crazy now go in there and become crazy.
You can get your crazy opinion heard. And this guy's on 60 stations, AM, FM. He's on the internet, and he's got a lot of followers. He's got a big website. Yeah. He's considered legit among the crazies.
These guys are mostly associated with a popular conspiracy theory talk show called InfoWars. The host of the show is a man named Alex Jones. Yesterday afternoon, Matt Drudge, who's the purveyor of the most influential conservative website in the country, the Drudge Report, yesterday afternoon, Matt Drudge tweeted this. He tweeted, "I privately told friends that this will be the year of Alex Jones. One hell of a broadcast in such a homogenized media." Again, this is from the most influential figure in conservative media who is not named Roger Ailes at Fox News Channel. And this is the guy he's now endorsing, saying it's this guy's year.
You know what it's like to go to sleep every night knowing you work for a bunch of psychotic killers, and you bastards are probably going to end up killing me one day?
Hate speech. Now Facebook is apologizing for allowing it worldwide. But can anything be done to stop the hatred, which is directly linked into the IRS Tea Party scandal? We'll have a factor investigation.
Alex Jones is using this so he can be more popular and more people will talk about him.
I don't know what he is, except a conspiracy theorist.
Hitler took the guns. Stalin took the guns. Mao took the guns. Fidel Castro took the guns. Hugo Chavez took the guns. And I'm here to tell you, 1776 will commence again if you try to take our firearms.
That sounds like the ravings of a fascist.
We're going to be live here for the next 2 hours.
Before these rumors about government tyranny reach the mainstream, they often start with an extremely popular internet radio host, Alex Jones.
So we're going to look at the type of tyrants in the Obama administration. And it's
Jones claims he has 2 million listeners for his internet broadcasts and that millions more watch his YouTube broadcasts and his dozens of documentaries. He also has several websites full of articles supporting his fears of government oppression and a tyrannical New World Order.
They're basically looking at the federal government now as an occupying force, basically a foreign occupying force, a tyranny. But that justifies a lot of bad behavior.
Yes, this is the same guy who has been selling the idea that the massacre at Sandy Hook Elementary School and the massacre at Aurora, Colorado were actually fake. They were faked as an excuse to take away our guns and enslave us to the giant wasps who hive beneath the UN building or whatever. It's the same guy who says the Boston bombing was also fake. It was faked for political purposes. The same guy who says he doesn't believe the Columbia space shuttle disaster actually happened. He doesn't believe there was actually an Oklahoma City bombing. Naturally, of course, he also knows and sells the idea that 9/11 was an inside job. So that landing gear, that must be faked too. The conspiracy continues. In every tragedy, the InfoWars Alex Jones world thinks they see a conspiracy. Alex Jones should be disqualified from participating in Republican Party politics. His crackpot theories shouldn't prompt actual hearings in Congress, and they shouldn't inspire actual legislation in Congress, and you shouldn't do a money bomb on his show when you are running for Congress. Do not fundraise on this theater of the absurd by showing yourself to be one with this guy. Really.
Listen, I'm here to warn people. You keep telling me to shut up. This isn't a game.
It's amazing because he runs InfoWars, and really smart people have come up to me and said, you know, I just saw this on something from InfoWars. Do you know anything about it? And I'm like,
yes,
yeah, stay away from it.
Immediately discounted.
Somebody came up to me just 2 days ago and said, we just bought like 1.5 billion rounds of Homeland Security. And I said, I don't know, it might be. Well, I got it from InfoWars. And I'm like,
okay,
well,
no.
Then I can tell you right now, it's most likely not true.
Is Alex overreacting, or is the 9/11 connection relevant?
Right. I think it's an overreaction, but also you're making some very serious allegations against the U.S. government, saying that they stage attacks, they allow them to occur in the United States against U.S.
Let's
citizens.
Let's declassify.
What? Now, what evidence do you have to support any of that?
Well, Gulf of Tonkin is very, very well documented.
The hashtag is InfoWars pickup lines. People are making up imaginary pickup lines for conspiracy theorists. The idea is that if you like InfoWars, which is a show hosted by a man named Alex Jones, if you like Glenn Beck and you like Alex Jones, who says we faked the moon landing, and that 9/11 was an elaborate hoax, and that it was secretly the White House that bombed the Boston Marathon. Michelle Obama was totally in on it. And also, there was no massacre at Sandy Hook Elementary School. All of those things were hoaxes. They were all faked by the government so we can be enslaved in FEMA concentration camps with the black helicopters and have our organs harvested for the aliens or whatever. If you are one of those folks, if you are a conspiracy theorist who believes in the Glenn Beck, Alex Jones view of the world, well, that doesn't mean you don't need love.
Alex Alex Jones may sound crazy, but still has 300 million YouTube, he had 300 million people that have watched him on YouTube, and that sort of fringe, arch-conservative, deeply, I think, racist strain is being tapped into at crazy profit by people in the media.
Well, it is, and I think the point you just made is the key thing, at crazy profit. These folks are getting paid to be racist.
He is a really, spooky guy.
Tonight, there are urgent calls for more airport security at LAX and airports across the country, as investigators are studying a shadowy subculture which may have encouraged a disturbed young man.
The TSA has a thankless job, enforcing procedures we all tolerate through gritted teeth. A popular target.
No kidding. Who else wants a job groping men, women, and children all day?
Among some anti-government activists, the agency embodies a federal government that's too invasive, corrupt, and incompetent. But today, the U.S. Attorney General took strong exception.
No feelings about the government can possibly justify those kinds of actions.
In other words, it's no excuse for murder.
Challenge Alex Jones to a boxing match, show up with a semi-automatic that you got legally, and pop him.
I'd love to see that. In uniform.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
Well, pancaking almost like a precision implosion.
It's reminiscent of those pictures we've all seen too much on television before, when a building was deliberately destroyed by well-placed dynamite to knock it down.
All starters have to break it up. We're away from that collapse.
And if you hear the shouting, it's a group of demonstrators who've come. Oh, 9/11 was an inside job. Oh, get a life. Get a life. 9/11 was an inside job.
Welcome back, everybody. We've been surrounded by an activist, radical, I don't know, communist group. I don't know who the hell they are. All hell is breaking loose on 6th Avenue. You know, you need a permit to protest or demonstrate here in New York, but this anarchist group came forward. They really are one of the least attractive groups of demonstrators I've ever seen.
Geraldo Rivera joins us, legendary journalist, celebrity journalist, you name it, but unlike many celebrity journalists, has a lot of hard reporting over the years. Even if you love him or hate him, you've got to admire the courage that he's had over the years. And he also got pretty mad. We're showing some video of that now. Whenever I was bullhorning his live broadcast, he gave me the middle finger. That's pretty funny. You don't see Geraldo.
I didn't give you the clenched fist, though. That's what I really wanted to do.
Oh, exactly. So what did you think when we showed up bullhorning you?
Well, first of all, it took me a while to figure out what the issue was. And then, then it was, 9/11 was an inside job, and I got that. And the anger, though, the level of anger was extraordinary. I mean, it was just, I was pissed off at you. You guys were pissed off at me. And there we were. We didn't, if I had thought it through in retrospect, what I should have done is just invite one of you to come and tell me, you particularly, tell me what the beef was, because once the substance of the issue became more known, it became a point where there's really some situations where you got to talk about the facts and circumstances.
Sure, you even later had me on your show to put out why I thought it was an inside job. When I say inside job, I mean they knew bare minimum. Even Bo Dietl agrees with that. You had on the show that day, and that and they use it to take our liberties and to attack Iraq. And now look at Seymour Hersh coming out, the multi-time Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist, saying the Bin Laden raid basically was fake, didn't happen. I've talked to the Navy SEALs who were involved. They say it was a lookalike they really killed. Whether that's correct or not, no one buys what this system's saying anymore. And I saw the press report on it a few weeks ago. They said when Geraldo Rivera and Alex Jones agree that the Syrians, thing is staged and that Al-Qaeda did it with the gas, Obama's in trouble.
Isn't it interesting that Alex Jones is right about the NSA and the Patriot Act and all those things that you were criticized for being paranoid and crazy about? And it turns out that the NSA is in our lunch and they're using it to catch their girlfriends cheating or, you know, bosses. You know, it's, I think that you give yourself a pat on the back on that big issue.
We have before us the opportunity to forge for ourselves and for future generations a new world order, a world where the rule of law, not the law of the jungle, governs the conduct of nations. When we are successful, and we will be, we have a real chance at this new world order, an order in which a credible United Nations can use its peacekeeping role to fulfill the promise and vision of the UN's founders.
It is a big idea, a new world order, a world in which there is the very real prospect of a new world order.
After 1989, President Bush said, and it's a phrase that I often use myself, that we needed a new world order.
There is a chance for the President of the United States to use this disaster to carry out what his father, a phrase his father used, I think, only once, and hasn't been used since, and that is a new world order.
So that the problem of the Bush presidency will be the emergence of a new international order.
Within the next 4 years, we will see the emergence of a new international order.
The beginning of a new international order.
The pieces are in flux. Soon they will settle again. Before they do, let us reorder this world around us.
I think its task will be to develop an overall strategy for America in this period when really a new world order can be created. It's a great opportunity. It isn't such a crisis.
It's about the future of Europe and a new world order.
There's a need for a new world order, but it has different characteristics in different parts of the world.
But today, with Asia already outproducing Europe, India and China are clearly becoming part of our new order.
We are now facing a common challenge. And the challenge is how to build a world order for the first time in history on a global basis.
So, in conclusion, ladies and gentlemen, a new world is emerging. It is a new world order with significantly different and radically new challenges.
The affirmative task we have now is to actually create a new world order.
Good evening, everybody. President Obama and British Prime Minister Gordon today calling for a new world order to tackle our global economic crisis.
And the president outlined his vision of a new world order in which the U.S. would participate fully.
We've got to give them a stake in creating the kind of world order that I think all of us would like to see.
So I see a world order in the future with a multipolar world order.
I think the new world order is emerging, and with it the foundations of a new and progressive era of international cooperation.
But in a globalized economy, we are going to have to take global responsibilities, and there is going to have to be some semblance of global governance.
Never before has a new world order had to be assembled from so many different perceptions or on so global a scale. Nor has any previous order had to combine the attributes of the historic balance of power system with global democratic opinion and the exploding technology of the contemporary period.
And I strongly believe India will be a central actor in the new world order.
There also exists an extraordinary opportunity to form for the first time in history a truly global society.
2009 is also the first year of global governance with the establishment of the G20 in the middle of the financial crisis. The climate conference in Copenhagen is another step towards the global management of our planet.
New World Order is the headline in the Globe and Mail in Canada.
Is this global governance at last? Is it one world, the central bankers in charge? But aren't we all just living and dying for what the central banks do?
Of course we are. We are absolutely slaves to central banks.
Now you can watch The Alex Jones Show live as it happens at Infowars.com/show.
You'll find links to all of our content there and a free 15-day trial for Prison Planet TV.
More than 60 movies and documentaries all in one place at Infowars.com/show.